You're listening to Behind the Music Biz, a Raised Rowdy podcast. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to an episode of Behind the Music Biz. Today, a very special guest. She's been a homie of mine for about 10 years now, which is crazy thinking back. She's back. She's up in New York. She is the founder of a company called Country Swag. I knew it back as New York Country Swag. We got our girl, Stephanie Wagner, with us. Steph, so good to have you back in town. Thanks for coming and doing this. How have you been, homie?
Thank you. I'm so good. Thank you for having me here. I'm so happy to see you and to be back. I freaking love getting to be here and just seeing everyone and catching up. So, yeah.
So what has this trip been all about?
Honestly, it was super last minute and nothing like too specific, which actually has been the best thing that I needed.
Yeah, those are the best trips when you could just come down without any assignments and just hang out with your friends.
Exactly. It's like not too chaotic. I got to like throw a few texts out, see who's around, have a lot of good conversations, lunches, dinners, and all that. Without having to be like, oh my God, we have to do this show and this event and this and that. So it's been the best week.
That's awesome. That's so great. So Country Swag, it's cool that I can say that I was there watching it like
day one,
like watching the brunches and watching being at some of the same shows in Hoboken at Maxwell's and at different spots all around the city. But kind of back us up to the inception and kind of explain for anybody that isn't familiar with Country Swag what it is and what you guys do.
Yeah. Okay. So Country Swag is a media outlet based in New York City for country music. The only one. But the idea behind it originally was, my background is in hospitality and events. So years ago I started doing a country night event just because I was a fan in New York and nobody was doing it. And we started throwing these events and they were just so much fun. Like, we'd have a DJ on and we would do like a red solo cup special and just your typical gimmicky country stuff. And they were so much fun and they would be like packed, and honestly nobody else in New York was doing anything country related, but there were fans there and I was a fan, and I was like, well, how do I like keep doing this and keep bringing people together? And the hospitality group that I worked for owned several venues. So they were like, well, let's bring this event to another venue. And at the time I was like, okay, well, how do I make it known that like the person who threw that event is now throwing it, you know, here or whatever. And I was like, I'll come up with a name and put like an umbrella name over it and we'll call it that and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, we'll call it Country Swag because my name is Stephanie Wagner and everyone called me Swag. So it just made sense. And I was like, I'll start an Instagram account and we can do merch that we can sell at the events. And when we're not doing events, I'll post about some of like the new artists that are coming to town or shows that are coming to town. And at the time, my whole thing was like we were getting like Luke Bryan at MSG, but nobody knew who Thomas Rhett was, who was opening for him. So I was like, I want to be the person who's like, get there early. Like, this is, you know, a new song that's out, a new artist. And that's kind of how it like really organically started and just really grew from there. And we were just doing these events and now we're coming up. December is our 10 year anniversary.
So exciting.
Which is crazy. So crazy.
And it's wild looking back at the baby artists of 2015.
Yeah.
And 2016.
Yeah.
And 2017.
I mean, it's like Luke Combs, Morgan Wallen. Like, those are the people that we were like seeing at like a 100 capacity venue in New York City.
Mercury Lounge.
Yeah, literally, literally. And now they're playing MetLife Stadium. And that's been really cool too, to be like, I mean, I was just saying to somebody, like, the coolest part with Country Swag is like having so much content from those early days and being like, these are the artists we were talking about and look at them now. And it's like kind of full circle because now I'm like, with the new artists today that we're talking about, I'm like, a lot of people trust our opinions because we've had such a good track record of being like, this one's going to be big, this one's good, you know? That time period of country music was insane, and it's crazy how much has exploded ever since.
It's like when, and it coincides with like the boom of Nashville. Like, I feel like Nashville became the cool spot in those years, like 2013 to 2017 or 2018 is when they say like the boom really began. And that's when you guys were starting to do the shows, and I was happy to be at those shows. I remember like the cruises going around the Statue of Liberty and stuff. Like, and an artist that I know you've had a connection with forever is Russell Dickerson. And now to see him doing what he's doing, but you knew him back in those early days.
Yeah. Yeah, insane. It's so cool to see where he's at now. He's another one that's like from day one, and then to see now is so crazy. But yeah, my very first event ever as Country Swag was a country brunch at Libation, which was a nightclub in Lower East Side. Did not make sense to do country music there, but we were like, country music in New York City doesn't make sense either. So yeah. We put this brunch event on, and I was looking for an artist to come play it. And I think we put tickets on sale. We were like special guests, blah, blah, blah. I had no idea how to book an artist. I had no idea how like live music works. I truly like was just making things up as I went along.
Yeah.
And we were selling tickets. It was getting closer and closer. And I was a fan of Russell. He had just put Yours out, but he was still an independent artist. Didn't have, you know, an album out or anything like that. But I was a fan of the song. And then about a month before that event, I went on the Florida Georgia Line cruise and, with a bunch of friends. And Russell was playing like a midnight set. And we saw his set. And I was like, this guy is so fun. And to me, I was like, this is the perfect person for a New York country event. Because he's just
party.
Yeah, lively. Like, you don't have to know his music. Like, he can win a room over. Like, right away, I just knew he was going to be perfect. And he was the person I wanted for it. So I like blindly emailed the email address that was on his website or Instagram, whatever it was at the time. And I was like, we're doing this event. Here's our budget, blah, blah, blah. And Charlie was his manager at the time, and he got back to me right away, and we went back and forth. I remember being on the phone, and he was like, is this a flyover date? And I was like Googling, like, what's a flyover date? Like, I didn't know any. I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I was like, here's what I can offer. Here's what we can do. And here's the idea. And gratefully, they were on board, and they came, and they played that. And it was just the best day ever. It made me realize that, like, we had something like there was a concept here, you know, people filled the room. It was like my favorite event. And then, yeah, Russell then got signed to a label. He put out his debut album. He had every song that he played at that brunch ended up going number one. And like, we were just kind of there all along the way,
which is crazy.
Yeah, insane. And we got to do a few events with him throughout the years, which was also just so cool. And as we continued to build and his name was, you know, got bigger, and then seeing him go out on tour and all the shows that he opened for. And then we had a very full circle moment this past summer. He headlined Pier 17, which is like iconic in New York City.
Yeah.
It's my favorite venue. Is the best view of New York City. And I can't imagine what that looks like for an artist to play from Nashville, like playing that venue with that skyline behind you. But during that show, he pulled me out on stage, and
I
he was like,
that.
You know, like told the whole story of his first show in New York City with me. And it was just really cool that 10 years later, we're both kind of at this crazy point in, you know, everything that we've worked so hard for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm super proud of him, and I'm grateful that he's our day one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the way that country swag has evolved, and from it being like a hyper local thing that us in the tri-state area knew as like one of the hubs for the scene. Like, if you were a country fan in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, even Pennsylvania, you knew what country swag was and what was going on with
Thank
it
you.
And everything. But now to see how it's stretched in the partnerships and relationships that you've built with labels, agencies, artists, events going full on scale, larger scale, and getting to have an imprint in New York City, but really expanding to all over the country as far as what your reach is. Just talk about kind of that expansion, you guys growing as a media company, as a brand, and just an outlet for people finding new good music.
Yeah, thank you for saying that.
Of course.
Yeah, that has been such a cool part too. So when we originally launched, the name was New York Country Swag, which was a handful to say, and to print on merch.
I never thought of that. Yeah.
But I did kind of always in the back of my mind had the idea that I wanted to drop the New York part, but I still very much wanted to emphasize that we were New York. So when it came to the point, I guess it was right around COVID, I was kind of at the point where I was like, okay, we're getting more and more followers, and I want people to know that they don't have to be from New York to follow us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a solid following on Instagram, and we were putting out a lot of new music and partnering with artists and, you know, sharing what they had going on. And I just didn't want it to be like so focused in that sense. So we decided to drop the New York and became just Country Swag. And that has been really cool to now be able to do things kind of like all over and be recognizable and just have that easy flow of the name. and again, we still emphasize that we're from New York, and kind of the goal is like, okay, if you know us and you follow us and then you come to New York, you're going to come to something that we're doing. You, like, you know, that's our home base. But you can be anywhere and follow us, because at the end of the day, we just love country music.
Yeah. And one of my favorite parts about your story, and something that's been so cool to, I've gotten to experience it once, but watching it from afar, just as somebody that came up in that same scene, Common Country.
Yeah.
You guys are
my baby.
Killing yeah. it. Killing Thank you. It. Like, every week I'm seeing, oh shit, look at what Steph and the crew are doing. Yeah. Like, it's unbelievable. So talk a bit Thank about you. How that came to be and just how that experience, because it's your two worlds literally coming together.
Yeah, literally. It's the most full circle thing in the
hospitality and country music and giving people a spot to play and DJs and most importantly, the fans.
Yeah, exactly. Scene. Yeah, just being a home for fans. Yeah, so Common Country is a country bar in New York City. We just opened in December. So the sister venue of Common Country is this bar called Common Ground, which is super popular bar, great crowd, great audience, great team behind it. And they had the idea of opening a country bar. And I was introduced through like a mutual friend when they were kind of, you know, getting everything together yeah. and what the plan was going to be to open and this and that. And so I had just met everybody, like I randomly went in for a meeting. They didn't really know who I was. I didn't really know who they were. But as soon as we started talking and I started hearing the plans, I was like, oh, this is something, we're yeah. on the same page. And we spoke about kind of like what the bar would look like and what they wanted to do with it. And they were like, we want to do live music, but also like it, we want nightlife. Like it's still New York City and we want New York vibes, but it still has to be country music. So we want DJs at night. And I was very much on the same page. I think I know New York enough and I know the fans in New York enough that I was like, I can program this. Like, I know exactly what kind of vibes we need yeah. here. And at the same time, I knew that I had, you know, all these years of relationships in the industry and just artists that I knew I can pitch different things to and different ideas and get them to come in. And then again, just giving a home for fans in New York. Like, we've never had that in 10 years of country swag. I've never had like a home base for yeah. somewhere to go for country music. So I was super excited to be a part of it and, yeah, partnered up. So I handle all of their live music and special, like music events. And it's been the coolest thing. We do all like local artists, live music every day until 11 PM. And then we do DJs at night. And it's all country music. We do a lot of like country EDM. So yeah. it's a lot of like dancing and super fun.
You've had
fun
Vavo in and, there a bunch.
Yeah. Vavo. We started working with Country Night a lot, which those guys are new country EDM yeah. DJ who have been really great. My friend D-Rock is crushing it in that world. He's been doing a lot of nights for us, and I'm doing a few other events with him, too. But, yeah, that's been a really, really fun, like, world to be a part of because, again, my original events were always very much, like, we're going to have live music and a rising artist, but we're also going to have a DJ. So, like, if you don't know that artist, you should still come because you're going to love the music yeah. either way. So the bar kind of naturally became, like, an adaptation of what I was already yeah. doing with my events. So that's been the coolest part and just being able to, like plug in so many different things that I've wanted to do this whole time. You know, yeah. it's like now I finally am like, well, here's the bar, here's the audience, you know, it's like, it brings everything together. I know I have the relationships with the artists and their teams and just bringing it all full circle has been the coolest thing and yeah. something I could have never predicted, right? But I'm like, thank God.
It's like that sometimes. Yeah. You start out a fan and you just want to collect other people that are fans
exactly.
of country
like,
music.
Exactly, like so organic and on and genuine, you know?
Yeah, because when you start out like living in the tri-state, you're like, oh, I'm the country fan of my friend group.
Right, right.
But then you realize and you introduce people to it and people are like, wait, I love this. Like,
yeah.
I'll drink a Surfside to this.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes a whole event and like a whole party. So now to like be a beacon for that. Because I remember going in, we were in town. It was back in January.
Yeah.
And we went to the Old 60 show. And then we were texting because Big Country came to the show and he was DJing that night.
<homie. laughs>
And then Josh Ross happened to be doing a radio show in Long Island. And we yeah. were like, hey, man, meet us here. And that
so
turned
crazy.
Out to be a magical night of yeah. late night pizza. I think one of Josh's band guys missed the flight. Josh took a flight to Kansas to go pick up a dog.
Yeah.
He flew into New York earlier that day, came and partied with us till like 3 or 4 in the morning, then flew out 2 hours later to go pick up a dog
That's
in Kansas,
insane.
Then flew to Tennessee.
I remember him like showing a picture and he was like, I'm going to be a dad tomorrow. And I was like, maybe a water would be nice first. No. That was such a fun night.
Yeah. Yeah. And for it to be like, you've gotten to have some great moments with artists yeah. in that bar. Like talk about some of the after parties and the intimate experiences that you've gotten
yeah.
to have in there.
It's been so cool. We've been so lucky that we've had a lot of artists stop by already in less than a year. But one of the first ones was Jordan Davis came to guest bartend.
Who's another one that you have been covering and had a relationship with for years.
Exactly. He is truly one of like my all time favorites. So for me, that was such a moment of like, oh, wow, like I'm doing everything I love. Like I cannot complain. But it was really, really cool. His team actually reached out to me for that. And they were like, you're involved in this bar, right? Blah, blah. And I was like, I'm here right now. I like took a picture. I'm like, what do you want to do? And it was their idea. And I was like, absolutely. I was like, we can make this work super easy, blah, blah, blah. So we didn't announce it. It was a Saturday night. And it's funny because the bar was so new. I don't think they even really had an idea of like exactly what to expect. And they were like, we do want to make sure it's like packed and, you know, it'll be like a good like turnout and like hype. And I was like, trust me. Like this bar from day one was like packed and which is crazy.
That blew me away that night that we went there, that there was the line, and thank God we had you and Chris to get us in there.
Yeah.
Big Chris ducking getting through the doorway. Literally,
come with me.
Come with me.
But it's so true. And I feel like it just goes to show how much country music has grown and how much like something like this has been needed in New York. Like again, there really hasn't been a go-to spot for country music fans. And the funny thing is I feel like country music has gotten so big that like it is pretty natural to hear country music songs wherever you go now.
Yeah.
But like it wasn't that way.
No.
Maybe the past 2 years, that's how it's been in New York. But like before that, like us doing a country night was like, oh gosh, now I'm finally going to hear country music.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. So now it's just like, it just goes to show how many people really have been looking for it. And it still gets packed out every single weekend and it's been so cool. But yeah, so the Jordan thing. So I was like, trust me, it's like, it's going to be fine. And they're going to know who he is. And that's the cool part too. It's like, you don't really have to like announce these surprise things or like hope that country fans or people recognize him because it's all country fans in the bar. Like they...
Yeah.
It was one of the coolest parts was like, so I went outside to meet them with security and everything. And they basically had to like walk through the front doors and then through the crowd to the other side of the bar, which is like the section that we had for them. So I had to have a bunch of security and everything around them. And people didn't know they were coming. But I was on the trail end of it. So I was getting to see everyone's reactions. I keep saying, I wish I had like a phone taped in my head because it was so cool to see people like turning around and being like, that's Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
Like we're in New York City. This guy just walked, like, it was just such a cool moment. And then, him and his whole crew were just super, super fun to hang out with. It actually, I think it was his birthday at midnight and him and his wife have the same birthday or they're a day apart, something like that. But so they were both celebrating their birthdays. We did like a birthday cake for them. And then he jumped behind the bar and was like a complete natural, just like making drinks and like he was very comfortable. So it was such a cool moment. So yeah, that was one of our first ones. And then we had John Party came. We did his album release. So he literally walked through the front window. Got right on stage, like another epic entrance, and he performed like an hour or so of some old songs, new songs, and that was like a packed Tuesday night in New York City, and that was super cool. And then we had Cole Swindell came. He did a guest DJ,
another OG of yours.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that's been the cool part. It's like so many of these artists that like I've been talking about forever, and now just like being able to be like, look, like just bringing it all together.
But that's something that we see with Raised Rowdy too, is like Nick has had that as well. And that's what's so cool is getting to see the folks years later.
Yeah, exactly.
Like remembering baseball hat, short hair, Morgan Wallen.
Yes.
Like the OG. Like I remember when you and Christina had interviewed him years ago.
A parking lot in Long Island.
That was the same time. I think I interviewed him on that same tour. He played at Jenks.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was that same time. You know, it's like,
it's crazy.
It's wild to see. And I feel like everybody talks about like the genre blending and what's country and what's not, and people get into bickering matches over it and everything. But I feel like the genre blending just works in your favor as well, because if you're having your country DJs or your EDM or EDM country, whatever you want to call it, the mixes have to be so elite right now with all the beats being in stuff.
Yeah. Honestly, I personally love the genre bending in country music, because I mean, especially in New York, I feel like I'm witnessing it firsthand.
Huge.
Of just bringing so many different people together. Like I'm at some of these shows and that's the other thing. I'm like, if you're at a country show in New York City, those are people who are like truly have been listening to the artists, are there for the, it's not just like another thing to do because it's what you do, you know. It's like there's a million things to do in New York. You could be anywhere, but you're at that show. So it's, they're truly people who are listening to the music, and it's so many different types of people that I'm like, this is so cool. And you can see, like, you know, which songs they're gravitating towards, or kind of see like what, you know, made them come. But that to me is the coolest part. I think it's like the evolution of music in general, the way that it changes and people adapt or, you know, go their own lanes is so cool, because it's like, we all don't want to sound the same anyway. Like, For me, it depends on what kind of mood I'm in is what I want to listen to. It doesn't, I'm not like that. I don't listen to that. Like, it's very much, you know, what kind of mood I'm in. And for me to be out drinking in New York City on a Saturday night, I want to hear country music. I want to sing to country music, but I want a beat behind it so I can also dance to it. So that's why I love the country EDM stuff. But even that has been cool. I've always been an EDM fan too.
I remember like Deadmau5, Avicii.
Like, I'm like ultra deist. So like now, like seeing some of my favorite DJs that I always listen to now remixing like some of my favorite country artists, I'm like, this is the coolest thing. Like, and you don't have to be a fan of it, but like I am, and other people are. So that works for me.
Baskin Robbins and Cold Stone have different flavors of ice cream for everybody.
There's a different
flavor of country music, of rock music, of hip hop. There's a flavor for everyone.
Yeah, you know? 100%.
Like,
yeah.
But how wild do the mixes get? Like, will you hear like a Zach Top song go into like a Wallen song, go into like a Zach Bryan? Like, do they mix the neo-traditional in there?
Yeah. So I would say, the funny thing is it's definitely like a very like eclectic mix of songs. And the funny thing is like, because you can mix a song based on like the lyric, like if it's like, if it ends with what, like, for example, my friend D-Rock, he does a lot of the country EDM stuff and he's super talented. And we were talking about songs that work together, and he was mixing the song Up Down. And I was like, oh, you should mix Down with like something else into like another song that says Down. And he used I'm Going Down, Alan Timber, that song. So it's a completely different genre, but the mix works so well that I was like, this is such a cool concept that like now you're not expecting to hear that. So even it's like, it's not even just country songs that you're mixing in and out of, but then like the end of it goes back into a country song and the beat is like nice and cohesive. So you're dancing to it the whole time.
And it's
time.
A recognizable, iconic song. Like Timber's an iconic song that we all listen to when it came out. You know?
So it's like you're out and you hear something like that and you're like, oh. That has been so I feel like almost like an unexpected thing that I didn't realize I would have such a good time with, but I'm having a lot of fun kind of like diving more into doing things like that. We're actually we just launched this new kind of like concept called Club Rodeo.
Ooh,
and yeah,
like
the idea is like country EDM like DJ sets, and we have a bunch of different guest DJs on. D-Rock is leading it. It's D-Rock's Club Rodeo. And so he will basically headline, but then we have a bunch of our other DJs who we also work with at Common Country, and we're all kind of friends. They'll do their own sets too with their mixes, but the idea is like just a takeover of like a country EDM night. You're on the dance floor all night. Like I keep saying, I'm like glow sticks and cowboy hats. Like it's just like a vibe. And we're doing that. Our first show is October 3rd at Superior Ingredients for anyone in New York. But that's like a 900 person venue and like it's selling really well. So it's cool to see that too.
That's something you could take to any SUNY school.
Exactly.
You could bring that to Cortland.
Yeah.
You could bring that to Albany. You could bring that to Hofstra.
And it's just Syracuse. A good time. And then even like artist wise, I'm like such an advocate for it, because for these artists who are doing their own versions of EDM remixes, it's easy for them to then go like pop up like in Vegas or, you know, any nightclub.
Look at Dustin Lynch, what he's doing with Grant.
Exactly. It is so genius to me and it's so simple. And again, there's like, I have such a respect for country music and live music. And of course, that's like, I love that so much, but I also think there's a home for like doing things out of the box too. And that's what this is allowing.
Absolutely, for sure.
And then you're seeing other audiences like now gravitate towards, like, they're like, okay, who's Dustin Lynch? Now they're following him. Now they're listening to his original music. And that's been like so cool to me to see that kind of like funneling together and the fans coming together and reaching new audiences and different opportunities. And like, I don't think I would have ever expected to see like a country artist pop up on a stage in Vegas, but here they are doing it every other weekend.
Residency.
Yeah, exactly.
The Dustin Lynch residency.
Yeah.
Which is
I think
wild.
It's like, it's just the beginning for stuff like that. So that's been cool. And I think, Common Country kind of having a hand on that nightlife side of that has been cool too. So I'm excited to do more in that lane as well.
So as a fan, what have been some of your favorite like moments or shows that you've gotten to see, whether it's at like the Garden or the Mercury Lounge or Irving or PlayStation Theater or wherever, or even out, you're from Queens, so Long Island's right there, so like Jones Beach, like what have been some of your favorite like iconic moments?
That's such a good question. I know, it's so crazy. To me, I feel like the coolest part has always been, I think a lot of times country artists don't even expect the fans in New York, and like I feel like you just feed, like they have a different energy about them that fans just feed off
of. We're hungry for it because we don't freaking get it all
like
the time.
We're hanging on every word. Exactly.
Yeah, because we're not going to get another country show for a couple months.
Exactly. Yeah. And that I think is like always my favorite part of any show in New York. But Jones Beach is one of my favorite venues that's outside in New York. That's like typical summer staple. Like you are out there, you're tailgating, you're out on the water, the sunset's always great. So I love, love, love shows out there. And then Pier 17 is another one of my favorite venues just because of the skyline.
So what's like a favorite show, like an artist where you were like, that show, I wish I could go back and live that show again.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is like kind of bookend, but like Lou Combs' Mercury Lounge show was like 200 people back in 2017. It was his first time ever playing New York City. That show specifically, because I remember being like, oh, this guy's good. Like, and no, we didn't really know who he was, you know? Like, I was just like, that guy's good.
That guy can sing.
Yeah. And then, and Hurricane was the only song out at that point. And then that was always one of my favorite, like, early on shows. And then to see him at MetLife was just, like, such a surreal, like, it just brings me back to, I'm like, how? Like, all these people. So Lou Combs is always a favorite. I'm trying to think off the top
of my head.
The
ones that pop into my head, because I had experiences doing it too, the Kenny Chesney tailgates.
Oh, yeah.
At MetLife.
That is like a holiday.
That's what I'm saying. Like you think back, for as much as we've always been starved of getting the shows that folks down in the Southeast or the Midwest get, there's like Kenny Day is a holiday.
Yeah.
Like FGL doing those stadium shows.
Yeah.
Zach Brown at City Field.
And it's
Fields.
Like, those are the ones where I feel like it's like your friends who aren't country fans are like, oh no, I'm coming to that. They like, they don't even know what artists they're going to, but they're like, they know it's a good time. Like those tailgates are so much fun. Yeah.
You guys used to do buses for those, right?
Yeah.
You still do?
Yeah. We didn't do any this summer. There actually weren't any MetLife shows this summer.
It's also like you're a little busy running the venue now.
A little bit going on.
I think the crew understands that Steph's a little busy to be booking a bus thing because she's booking bands and DJs every night.
Yeah. My phone is blowing up 24/7. But yeah, I love the bus days. I feel like they're a lot of work. Gratefully, my brother helps me with a lot of that stuff, and especially the heavy lifting. So it's always worth it in the end, but it's usually a lot to put together. But those are the days where it's like, oh, it's so worth it. Everyone being together and just like having the best time ever. It's like, you can't beat that. I love those days.
And then popping the tents up and playing beer pong. And
exactly.
Flip cup
and like
and jamming out. And then some people don't make it back.
I was
going to
say,
bus.
Yeah. The people who don't even make it into the show, like they're like, what happened after the tailgate?
They're like, we can hear it out here.
Yeah, exactly.
We're good. I got my good chair. Yeah. I'm good out here. They're just paying for the bus, not even for the concert.
No, literally.
Ticket. There's always a handful in every crew that.
Oh, yeah. I've had people who were like, yeah, we're not even going to buy tickets. We're just going to hang out in the parking lot all day. I'm like, okay. I'm going to go inside, but okay.
Who was the first artist that kind of drew you in as a country fan?
Luke Bryan was my number one, my day one. He, so I, like, I didn't grow up listening to country music at all. I truly didn't, like, truly didn't even know what it was. I remember, like, playing one of those stupid, like, trivia game type things where you had to, like, I don't know, it was almost like Hangman or something like that. I don't know why I have this weird random memory of it. And it was, like, filling in the letters or whatever. And the answer was Rascal Flatts. And I was, like, showing it to my friend. And I was, like, what is this? And he was like, that's Rascal Flatts, obviously. And I was like, who is Rascal Flatts? Like, I specifically remember. And he was like, you don't know who Rascal Flatts are? And I was like, no. Like, am I supposed to? I think we're on our way to like a Chris Brown concert. Like, I was like, who is Rascal Flatts? So yeah, I didn't grow up around it at all. We didn't have a radio station in New York my whole life. It just wasn't around me. And then my mom was a country fan, and she used to watch like the CMT music videos like late at night. And one night my younger brother came downstairs and was like, oh, who is this? Like, what's this song? And it was a Luke Bryan song. And I think it was one of the like spring break party songs or whatever, one of his early songs. And so my brother started listening to him. And I was just always a fan of music in general. Like, I would go to any concert. That was always my favorite kind of night out. Like, I would just always go to concerts. And Luke Bryan was coming to Nassau Coliseum on Long Island. And I was like, oh, Johnny, isn't this the guy you like? I'm like, I would go, like, whatever. So I went like truly blindly. I didn't know a single song by this guy. I didn't know what he looked like. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And I did have a group of friends who had like started listening to country music more and more. So we went with like a solid group of people. And Florida Georgia Line was opening for him. Didn't know who they were. And we got inside and we had like the best night. And I was like, this is country music. Like, I was like, this is a good time. I'm like, I just got home from like Ultra. Now I'm, you know, like chugging beers in a flannel. So very different. But it was so fun that I was like, yeah, like this is a good vibe and I really love it. So Luke became like my favorite. And that's truly who like broke me into it. And then that era was like the like Luke Bryan, Cole Swindell, Thomas Rhett, Florida Georgia Line. The bro country.
The bro country era. Yeah. I was just
broke a lot of people.
I was just talking about that with Drew Green. He was in here earlier today
because
he came up writing in that era. Like
yeah,
he came up learned like his goal was to write get FGL cuts, which he had with Colorado, and he's like was talking about that. And I said that's like that was our '80s hair metal.
Yeah.
You know, like that was our like those guys were the Motley Crue, the Guns N' Roses, the White Snake of country music.
Yeah, it's so true.
It was a party. And now it's funny because after the hair metal came grunge, and that's kind of where we've been for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
The Zach Bryans.
So that's such a perfect way to
look at it. Zach Bryans, the old '60s, the who else? The Sam Barbers, like that style, Dylan Gossett, like where it's a little bit deeper. It reminds you of grunge.
Yeah, that's so true. It's such a good way to look at it because it's literally like the perfect comparison. And it's so funny now when people are like, bro country, I'm like, bro country did so
party.
Much for country music.
Yeah. It did. That was one of my favorite eras. Like everybody remembers being at a tailgate and drinking shots of Fireball. Yeah. Going in to see FGL at PNC or Jones Beach or one of the stadium shows.
And like Baby Morgan Wallen opening for
Baby Wallen. Dustin Lynch came up at that time.
Yeah.
Like the Chris Jansen Buy Me a Boat era. The Blake Shelton Boys Round Here Bro country songs. Like, it was so much fun.
Oh my God. So many good songs. I feel like so many of those songs are still my like go-to like happy music.
You hear them, you're moving your head and you're singing. Yeah. Like it brings you back.
Brett Eldridge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brett Eldridge. Like that era of 2010s country, like 20-teens country was so
early
much fun.
Sam Hunt when he was kind of like hip-hop.
When he was like Make You Miss Me into like Body Like a Back Road,
which is so funny. Even like his trajectory, like his music now, I feel like is so different but still so good.
Yeah.
And it's like his concert is just hit after hit after hit. Like he's another one who will always be one of my favorites.
But
that era was the best.
It's what drew me in too because we came up at like the same time going to those shows, you know. Like I remember seeing Luke Bryan at MetLife with Morgan opening up for him. It was like Morgan, I think John Party was on that show too.
Yep.
I think there might have been one more. I forget who else was on there, but I remember going to that show and it being like a moment. You know? Like that to me, we're not at where we're at now with country music if that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Like I completely agree.
And it's what really I think brought it to the Northeast.
Right. That's exactly what I was gonna say. It kind of like almost like I wanna say made it like relatable. You know what I mean? Like to me, my idea of country music was like, well, I don't have a farm and I didn't, that's what they're singing about, but that was the idea that I had of it because I didn't know it. I was like, I can't relate to country music. And that was like, oh, I can relate to like drinking beers around a fire. Like partying, sure.
Yeah. Another big thing that I think New Yorkers relate to with country music is the pride in it.
Oh, 100%.
The pride in country and in family and with law enforcement and everything like that. And that's something you guys have gotten to do with Country Swag, with giving back to the community. Like I know you guys have done some pretty extensive charity work through shows and events and fundraisers. Yeah. So what's that been like, giving back to the community?
Thank you. I've always been one of those people who just kind of believes that like if you have a platform, you should use it for good however you can. And that was something that was important to me as Country Swag was growing, was how to continue to give back, how to highlight heroes, and how to share stories. And so we, I want to say it was like 2017 or 18, we launched what we called the Hero Collection. And basically it was like a line of merch, where we had like the red line hat was for the fire department and the blue line hat was for police. And then we put out a camo hat for military. And each month we partner with like different foundations or different people, and anything from the sales of those hats kind of went towards that, or, you know, we like highlighted them and did different things with them. We're able to do that. And then also did events around it. And that has been such a cool thing because those that whole collection has been so popular over the years. We did sweatshirts.
I think I have the blue line hat.
Yeah, I have to get you some more. I should have brought some with me.
We'll do it. We'll do a merch swap for sure. Because I know Nikki T would love to have some as well.
Yeah. So that has been so special. And yeah, over the years we've continued to push that side of it. We also had one of my good friends. His name was Timmy Klein. He was a firefighter. He passed away in a fire 3 years ago. And so when he passed away, we took one of the hats and we put his initials on it for TK. He was always the biggest supporter of Country Swag at every single event, at day one, everything I've ever done. So it was kind of crazy that, you know, fire department and police department were such a big part of our brand. And then we had to turn around and go do this for our friend, which was sad and insane. But it's been such a nice way to honor him and continue his story. And his love for country music. And we also started doing what we call TK Fest every year.
Yeah,
so
I
it's in
that.
Honor of him. Yeah, we do this event at the Rocco Hotel, which is our hometown where Timmy was from. And we partner with his firehouse and we put this big event on where it's just like a day of, we have a country cover band. They play music all day long and we have a DJ and we do line dancing and it's just like a really, really fun way to bring everyone together.
And it sounds like something that TK would have been at.
Exactly. And that's always been the idea of like, this would be the perfect day for him.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be right on the dance floor. It's crazy that we had started that to begin with and then had to use it in that way. But it's been a really, really special way to honor our heroes, and because that's what they are and they don't get enough.
Yeah.
And now we see these hats everywhere we go at every show. A lot of artists wear them and that's been really, really cool. And like you said, American Pride is such a big part of country music fans. And I think that that's what also makes me so proud to be a country music fan. It's been really cool to use that in that way and you know, highlight our heroes.
Yeah,
be a part of something special.
Yeah, and that, like you said, the ability to give back in the community is so big. And NYPD and FDNY culture is so big where we're from. Like, everybody knows somebody either directly or knows somebody whose brother or sister or
exactly.
cousin.
It's such a, like, New York thing,
because
I think just everyone has so much respect for them and
so talk about the media side now of like, you have a staff of folks that kind of give, because it takes a village.
Yes,
it does. You did it for a long time by yourself and have had team members kind of, because you have people that like come and go, but I feel like right now you have like your team of folks that keep this thing going, keep the train going and get it to the level of where it's at. So talk about kind of how you've built the team of Country Swag and the staff that you have on and the different facets.
It's been so great. I'm very grateful for everybody on our team and all of the work that they do because they truly keep me going.
Yeah.
I would not be able to do it alone. But we have Erica, who is like my right hand. She handles all of our website content, all of the written content. She keeps me like on track with all of the new music coming out and album reviews that we do. And we do a lot of partnerships with like labels and artists and helping to promote their stuff. So she helps kind of lead that and making sure that everything's getting out timely, getting posted on our website, getting posted on social media. So she is a huge, huge help. And she's actually been with us, I think, like 7 years now. Yeah. Pre-COVID. So she is so great. And then we have my girl Katie does a lot of our content. She does all of our like videos and special events and photos and stuff. And she's super great. I also met her years ago. My like fun fact with Katie is she shot for one of my events. And when I met her, she had just moved to New York City. And she was like, I'm from Michigan. I grew up around country music. I love it so much. And I've been looking for something in New York that's country music related. And then I just happened to be introduced to her through a friend. And she was like, now I'm shooting for a country music outlet. Like, this is everything I wanted. So that was kind of like eye opening for me because I was like, wow, how many people in New York like moved here from somewhere else and they grew up with country music and now they're looking for it.
A lot of people.
So, yeah, exactly. So Katie has been so great with content and helping me with that. And then we have Lauren Davidson does a lot of interviews for
love
us.
Lauren, yeah, my that girl. Was, I remember we saw her open a lot of shows back in the day.
Lauren is so great. She's super talented. She's a local artist. And what's cool too is now she plays at Common Country too.
Nice.
So yeah, we are pretty much always speaking, and she does a lot of our on-camera interviews.
Yeah.
And she's just so natural at it. She, you know, she knows the music. She can talk. She's used to performing and being in front of people. So she's so great at that. And I'm so grateful for her too and all of her help. Over another one I've known since day one. So yeah, she's been so great. And then we have a team of writers who are kind of like freelance, and they'll pick up pieces when they can. And my girl Nicole does all of our album reviews, and she is super well spoken and very much knows music very well, and like can write about it. And like I specifically will wait for her review of an album just so I can read it first and then go listen to it, because I'm like, she'll point out things that I probably wouldn't have picked up on, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, now I want to listen to that song again. So yeah, she's super great. But yeah, there's so many people, and then our team at Common Country is just amazing. I feel so grateful that they are the best people to work with and so much fun. And they keep everything running at Common Country, so I'm very lucky for the people around me.
Well, good people attract other good people, and nice. It's people that are passionate about the music. Like it's the music's first,
right?
You know, the
100%.
Music and making sure that the scene has that beacon,
right?
You know, and that's what you built. And it's also like so many. We've always been under the impression with like Raised Rowdy, if it's something that we don't like, we're not going to talk negative about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather spend the energy reviewing or giving that moment to talk about something that I like versus talk negatively about something. And 100%. I feel like that's something that's a culture that you've always preached as well.
Yeah, I'm very much will never be like that gossipy page. Never talk negatively. I'm like, I can't write a song. I can't sing a song. I can't play an instrument. Who am I to say anything negative about something that somebody obviously put like their blood, sweat, and tears into? And maybe I don't like it, but it's everything to them. And if they turn around had anything to say about Country Swag, I would not be a fan. So it's just not, I'll never be a negative outlet. I just, if you don't have anything nice to say,
and
don't say it.
and you'd rather your followers and your readers and your listeners, you'd rather put them on to something good versus, hey, go check out how bad this is.
Right.
No, it's hey, go check out this new artist that's getting ready to go on the road with
Tucker Wetmore or whatever. And it's like, I understand, like, I guess there's a fine line between, like, you want to be genuine, but that's the thing. I'm just not going to write about an artist that I don't like. I don't have to post about it.
I'd rather it not be on my website.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to feed out the people that I truly believe in and people that I work with who believe in them. You know what I mean? Like, we're all, at the end of the day, I hope the majority of this industry is here because you're championing people you believe in.
Yes.
So that's kind of what am to my core, is I'm working with people because I believe in them.
Yeah. Now talk about the bridge to Nashville. When did you start coming down here? And talk about some of those early relationships that you've been able to build over now the last decade, which is crazy to say. Isn't it crazy?
10 years is so crazy. I'm not old enough to say that. No.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. 10 years is crazy. I'm so grateful. I can't believe this has been my life for 10 years. But I'm also like, at the same time, I'm like, oh, I think we're just getting started.
Yeah.
So that's the exciting part too. But yeah, my first trip ever to Nashville was 2014, pre-Country Swag. I did CMA Fest with a bunch of friends, and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, I remember being like so enamored with the fact that like one city could be so dedicated to one thing. Like, I was like, everyone here loves country music. Yeah. Like, this is crazy.
Especially coming from New York, where it's a little bit of
everything
and 9 million people on a block of islands.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So I immediately fell in love with Nashville. I knew it was something that I wanted to be a part of. I had no idea how I was going to be a part of it. But I knew it was something that like truly spoke to me. So when I started Country Swag, I didn't know anybody in the industry. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea where to begin or what to do or who to speak to. But I like truly just very organically and naturally kind of like seeked advice and people and reached out and had conversations. At the time, we had 94.7 FM radio station in New York.
Shout out.
Yeah.
That was a huge, loved everybody over there.
Yeah, the best team. But Kelly Ford was kind of the leader of the pack there.
Yeah,
and
I love Kelly.
She, from day one, was so great to me. She actually hosted the first country events that we did, even pre-Country Swag, when I was doing them at Bungalow in Rockaway. So that she was the only person I knew in the industry. But she was very supportive from day one, and she would answer a lot of my questions and have conversations, and I was always very grateful for her. And then with that, 94.7 was doing a lot of like events with labels and artists and stuff like that. So I had just started Country Swag, and they did an event with, I think it was Randy Houser, and then like the next day it was another event like with Granger Smith. So it was two events in a row. And I was kind of like paying attention to who was there, who looked like they were like working, you know, like who was part of it.
Who wore the suits?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And at that point I knew pretty much the whole team at 94.7. But there was this one girl there who I could tell was like running the, doing it. And I was like, who is this girl? Like, I need to try to meet her. And I went home that night and I went to the location on Instagram and tried to find like tagged photos. And I found the girl in a photo, found her name, found who she worked for and what she did. And that was Jo Jamie Har from BBR. Yeah. And she was like head of marketing. And I found her email and I blindly emailed her. And I was like, I just started this company called Country Swag, and this is the idea of it. And we're based in New York and blah, blah, blah. And next time you're here, like, would you ever want to do a lunch or coffee or blah, blah, blah. And she so like graciously emailed right back and was like, of course, like, love this idea. Like, let's meet, blah, blah, blah. So she was, again, a day one, sat down with me, gave me a lot of like really, really good advice, gave me like tips on like who I should be reaching out to, what I should be trying to do. And from that, she has been like truly somebody who's been in my corner since day one. I'm so grateful for her. And she's been so supportive of Country Swag and truly has become one of the best people in my life.
And she's one of the like power players.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. She is running this town. Now,
she is one of the people. And I think I met her through you briefly.
Okay.
It's funny. I've been in town now for 7 years and I don't think I've seen her, like, but I saw her back in the day at, it was either at Starland or it might have been Maxwell's or somewhere in the city, because I remember hanging out with, getting introduced to her through you and Christina.
That's so funny.
Back in the day.
Yeah, no, she's the best. And honestly, that's kind of what's funny with being in New York, because as much as like we weren't really part of the Nashville bubble, so many people were traveling up there, and that's why like it worked. Exactly,
it's the biggest media market in the world.
Like, it was like, even if we didn't have shows there, everyone was coming up for the Today Show or, you know, Good Morning America or like off, you know, like, I don't know, any kind of like press related thing, any album that was coming out, they were coming up there for media trips. So there definitely was a lot of people often in town. And then the kind of like great thing for us was that we were able to get that like one-on-one time with them, where like if I were in Nashville, it would probably be a lot harder because there's a million people doing the same thing. So that over the years has been super beneficial too, to be able to build out those relationships. And again, it was just always very organic and like genuine. Like, it was just kind of like, I just wanted to meet more people. I wanted to learn more about the industry. I wanted to make friends in the industry. I wanted to help. Like, there were artists that I loved and I wanted my friends to love them too. So how do I make that happen?
Yeah.
And I think the networking side of the industry is the most important part. And to me, that's the funnest part. So it kind of works out pretty well for me.
What advice, going off of that, what advice do you have for a young guy or a young girl that's wanting to get in the industry? That's like you or I, where we love this and we're like, how can we make this our lives without knowing how to write songs, play guitar, sing, produce?
Right. It's so funny because I feel like I've been getting asked this question more and more. And I, like, in the beginning, I kind of never knew what to say because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I still don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm just figuring it out as I go. But I think that's the thing. Like, just don't be afraid to ask questions. If you have ideas, like, share them with people. Like, I don't know how many times I was like, hey, like, I've been thinking about this. And that person has been like, wait, I know this one. We can, like, and people just piggyback off of things. So it's like, don't be afraid to speak up and to introduce yourself and to ask people if they want to grab lunch or coffee. Or the other thing, I think what has been really cool for like my story, when I first started coming to town and was first learning people in the industry and meeting new people, we gravitated towards this like little group of people that like, it was all kind of like my first CRS here. It was like a group of people who like one had like was working with radio and one was working with a media outlet. Like, everybody was kind of working somewhere else, but we were all brand new.
Yeah.
And we all just kind of stuck together because nobody knew what we were doing. Like, we were like, okay, what are you doing tonight? Like, okay, let's go to that event together. And like, I'll have a friend there. It wasn't like, oh, you know this one, you know, I want to stick with you. It was like, none of us know anyone. We're just trying to figure it out. And now 10 years later, that same group of people that I've been best friends with the past 10 years are all like in high positions doing really big things. And like, I've been able to work with him so well for so many things that I get to do, and we're all working together, but it all came from like just naturally being friends and being in the same position. So I think my advice would be to like look at the people around you and who's figuring it out too, because those are going to be the people that you're going to lean on in a few years or throughout the tenure.
It's funny. Whenever we have like artists on here, I always talk to them about like their class of like who were people that they moved here. Like for me, it's like Trey and Ella and Dylan Marlowe and like the 2017, 2018 people. We all moved here around the same time.
Yeah.
It's like that you got your, that's your industry class.
Yeah.
Those 100%. Are your guys and girls that you started with.
Yeah. Ugh. And that's like, that's what's been cool this past week that I've been here. I've been able to like see so many of them. And again, in a way of it's, you know, we're not here for CMAs or CRS or anything.
Grab a drink or grab coffee or grab
lunch. Catch up on life.
Yeah. Like these are your genuine friends.
Yeah, exactly.
And you happen to get to work with them doing something you're passionate about.
Exactly. And that's the coolest part. And I'm so grateful for that. I always joke around. I'm like, I literally live like a double life. It feels like sometimes because I'm in New York. So it's like, okay, I go home now to like my, you know, people who don't talk about music 24/7 and I love them, but I'm like being here is my like alter ego of being like, oh, this is my whole world.
Now what is the future for you and for Country Swag? Like what are some things that we're excited about now getting into? It's crazy we're in September of 2025.
I know. Like, I feel like this year
how old are you now?
35.
You're 35.
See, don't 30. Include that.
No, what do you mean don't include? No, we're in our third. We're like right around that same generation. Yeah. But it's like I always heard when I was a kid, I was like, when you get older, time goes faster.
It does.
Yeah. Like a stupid amount faster.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know what's so funny? I feel like I never thought I would be one of those people either who was like conscious about their age. Like I never really thought it mattered. And now that I am getting older, I'm like, oh, I wish I was younger. I find myself feeling that way. But the funny thing is I also kind of had this moment of like, if I wasn't at this age right now with 10 years under my belt, like I couldn't be 25 doing this.
No.
You know, like I'm pulling off a lot of great things.
I couldn't be 30 doing this shit.
Yeah, it's like you don't have that experience or like those connections or like everything that makes it work now is what the past years and getting older is what, you know, made it, you know, be able to happen. But yeah, for the future of Country Swag, I'm pumped. I feel like we are at such an exciting point right now, just with country music in general, and being in New York and having Common Country and just all the things. And we're growing, like consistently still growing every day. I'm looking forward to doing more merch, more events, building out like our side brands. Like I said, we have Club Rodeo, which I'm excited to keep.
That's going to be really cool. I'm very excited.
We'll have to do a Club Rodeo Nashville.
Yeah. I mean, any way that we could work together.
Yeah. It's 100%.
We've literally known each other for a decade.
That would be full circle.
We were both at freaking Russell Dickerson at Maxwell's Tavern when his head was hitting the low ceiling in that back room in Hoboken. Yeah. We both saw Old Dominion there years ago.
Yeah.
Because that was my spot, was like the Maxwell stuff. But then also, I mean, like Combs at the Mercury Lounge. I remember that night.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing all that stuff. Like, let's do something.
Love that.
Have you done like a takeover event down here? Has that happened yet?
Not yet. And I've been having these conversations because I think that's coming.
Yes.
So we're going to have to talk.
Yes. We definitely should, because we just moved all of our stuff over to Odie's.
Well, I saw that because last night was your first night there, right?
Yeah, and it's a beautiful room.
I have to get there. So many people have been raving about that spot.
Have you ever been to Moonshine Flats or Moonshine Beach in San
Diego?
No.
Okay, but I was recently introduced to Mike Harris.
Yeah, that's who we're working with over there.
Oh, okay, I have to connect with him again.
We'll work something out for sure, because I want to come up and do something at Common.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I want to. It's been on my bucket list. It's been on my bucket list to do something up, do something in New York.
Yeah,
like
we have to.
In New York or Jersey, just somewhere in the tri-state. So it'd be awesome to do that with you guys. So
yeah.
We got to do something.
Yeah, 100%.
Sure.
There's so much. My brain has been like spinning constantly, but that's been the most exciting part of it all, of like just being able to spin, you know, like having opportunities. Yeah.
Now, last question for you. What's something that you would tell that girl 10 years ago that's starting a blog about talking about the artists that are opening up for FGL and Luke Bryan in 2015, 2016? What would you tell that young 25, 26-year-old girl that's starting New York Country Swag? What would you tell yourself 10 years ago? Knowing what you know now in 2025, having this brand and this company and this media outlet and to make a difference for so many artists and music fans.
Yeah. Thank you. I think I would just say, like, to keep doing what you're doing, keep doing it, keep, you know, following your heart and being authentic and true and honest. I think that that's what's gotten me as far as it has. And I think there's been so many times where I didn't really know where it would lead, but I kind of blindly followed this weird feeling of like there's something here. And I think now I'm at the point where I'm like, oh, this is, you know, what it was all leading to. So I think if you have that feeling in your gut, there, it's for a reason. So chase the dream because it's there for a reason. And yeah, I'm grateful I chased mine because I've never been happier.
Amen. Amen. Like, thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you for having me. This is so great.
And if people wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way to get a hold hold of Country Swag, get a hold of Stephanie?
So I'm at Steph Wags on Instagram. It's an SZ at the end because I'm cool.
No. Hey.
Yeah, that probably shows my age, but Steph Wags at Country Swag on Instagram for Country Swag. And then we're at Common Country Bar for the bar in New York. And if you're in New York, come to Common Country. And if you're there October 3rd, come to Club Rodeo. It'll be the first one ever. And hopefully first of many.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and hanging out. Shout out to our friends at Surfside.
Yeah, you know we love you.
You guys are an active. It's funny. So Common Country, I don't know if you know this. I was talking with Brandon.
Biggest seller.
You guys are the number one Surfside bar in New York City.
Yeah, I'm so proud of that.
The number one selling bar of the number one canned
cocktail. Has nothing to do with me being there every weekend, I swear.
Well, I remember we were there with Josh. Josh ordered like six buckets of it and like two bottles of Jack. I'm like, yo, Josh, you're in New York, bro. You got that? He's like, oh, we got it. Label's paying for it. I'm like, oh,
it's all be $2 million.
It's all recoupable.
Yeah.
but no, so that's awesome too. That's why I'm saying, I'm like, we could totally do something at CC with you guys.
Yeah,
like,
no, that would be so great. We'll do a takeover. It would be awesome.
Dude, we'd be so down. Get Nikki T. And he's been in like his Set It Off era. He's like the little boozy, like Set It Off, where Nikki T's just been partying like it's 2017 here.
Let's
lately.
Go. You gotta live that way.
I'm like, yo, if we can get some of our rowdy folks up there, I'm like, I want to show them how New York City gets down for country.
Well, yeah,
music.
We should program something and do it and truly do like a whole takeover. I think that would be great, and bringing all the brands together.
That would be freaking awesome. Yeah, that'd be so 100%. Cool. But shout out to our friends from Surfside. No bubbles, no troubles. It's not a seltzer, it's a Surfside, damn it. Shout out to our man Brandon Berman, by the way.
Yeah, Brandon,
a mutual homie of ours. He'll have to be up there for that.
Oh, 100%.
Too.
Yeah, we'll have to send him a picture after this, too.
We will. For sure, we definitely will. Be sure to check out Country Swag, check out all the album reviews, get some merch. And if you're in New York, you're in the tri-state area, even if you're outside the city, like I grew up outside the city, but I'd always find myself going to events and stuff. If you're a country music fan in the tri-state, I know we got a lot of folks in like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, PA that watch this stuff. Get out there and get to an event. You'll find other folks in the Northeast that love country music, hanging out at Common Country, and the rodeo stuff's gonna be so cool.
Yeah, and you never know where we're gonna pop up. Either.
Yeah, exactly. You never know anywhere in the tri-state. But seriously, thank you so much for coming on. For more on us, visit RaiseYourAddy.com. For my girl Steph, I'm Matt Burrell. This has been Behind the Music Biz.